Prompted me, I felt led by the Lord to share a message from this psalm, Psalm 71, a message about hope and an anchor, having your life anchored on hope when trouble strikes. And so today is an opportunity to share the good news of hope in Christ when trouble strikes. You know, when it comes to good news, we have jokes about good news, bad news, and I don't know if you've heard some of the jokes about good news, bad news. One of them that stands out in my mind was the pastor of a church who was so discouraged because everything in the church just seemed not to be turning out right. And finally, they came to him with just a pastor, we've got good news. Finally, the women's softball team won a game. And he's like, well, I guess that's good news. What's the bad news? He says, well, the bad news is they beat the men's softball team. You know, the jokes of good news, bad news are always because the bad news is so much greater than the good news. But when it comes to God's Word and the message of hope, it's just the opposite. The good news is always greater than the bad news. And that's what we put our hope in. That's where we can anchor our life in hope, even when trouble strikes. It's because with God and with our life of faith, no matter what bad news there is, God's good news is always greater. Well, there's a lot of trouble these days. Certainly, I joined together with you as a church in the trouble in recent days with your pastor and his wife and the trouble in their household. But as much as the specific trouble, there's a general trouble that we feel. We live in a time where there's a bleak economy. I got in the mail this past week my statement of my pension, and I don't know, did any of the others have you seen what happened this last year in the economy? There's a whole lot of job uncertainty as we face high levels of unemployment. People live with health concerns, people live with family concerns, marriage, trying to raise children, and we're surrounded by trouble. It reminds me of the Psalm. Psalm 11 verse 3 says, when the foundations are crumbling, what can the righteous do? And it feels like that kind of time where the foundations are shaken, where everything is bad news all around us. And that's when it's an appropriate time to have a message about being anchored in hope. And I think the picture there from this psalm is that we're anchored on hope when trouble strikes. Now, that little picture of an anchor that holds us steady and firm with hope in times of trouble lets us know that the anchor itself is not something that we can do anything about. And the anchor itself is firm and secure. It's unchanging. When it comes to the Christian hope, the news that God is in control and that nothing can thwart God's plans, that hope that we hold on to is fixed. What matters is that line, that lifeline that goes from our own life through faith to grab a hold of that, hold on to that anchor of hope. And so as we talk about hope today, it's not the anchor itself. The Bible says that hope does not disappoint. Hope always comes through. But it's our ability to hold on to that hope and to find strength from that when trouble strikes. How quickly we're able to stabilize our life in a storm of trouble. Or how firmly we're able to hold on to what the breaking point is with the trouble in our life. Or how strong we can become at turning to hope when trouble strikes. That's what's in our power to do something about. And so today, as we talk about times of trouble and how God gives us the anchor of hope, what I want to do is try to talk about the practical ways that with our faith in Christ, we can do something to strengthen the hope that that God gives to us. And this is always God's concern with your life. The surface of storms and waves and currents that are going on are less of a concern to God than how well you can build the character and the strength to reach out to Him. Because that goes down to the very soul of who we are. And God wants to build your strength and your character regardless of the circumstances that you face. I don't know if you've heard about Biosphere 2. Biosphere 2 is a research lab that was created down in the deserts of Arizona with a huge glass enclosure in order to study planet Earth and the biosphere of planet Earth. And in this artificial environment, they are able to recreate scientifically all the climate conditions of the Earth and do experiments and research on how climate is affected that way. Well, in the early days of Biosphere 2, in the research, they found that they were overwhelmed with joy at how successful this laboratory was. And they discovered that the plants that were growing in Biosphere 2 would grow much faster than they do on planet Earth. And it gave them great hope for what kind of greenhouse and feed the Earth opportunities this might present. Except there was a problem that emerged very quickly. As these plants and trees would grow so fast, they began falling over, and they were collapsing under their own weight. And as they did continue to do research to figure out why all of these plants and trees in Biosphere 2 were collapsing and falling over, they discovered it was because they had failed to create wind. You see, in the natural order of life on this earth, wind helps build strength and fiber in trees and plants. And so eventually they corrected the problem. They were able to actually even create wind. But it gives a picture about God's concern for us when we live life. God wants for us to grow and to flourish in life and to live the abundant life. But He's more concerned that we have strength and character in our souls. And so for that reason, we live life with the experience of the winds of adversity. The winds blow, the storms come along and bring trouble into our lives. And it's actually through those times of trouble that God is able to build greater strength in us. God's people are people who gain a mastery of holding on to hope in times of trouble. And so for each one of us today, is there a path? Are there practices that we can engage in that will help us gain mastery at holding on to hope in times of trouble? And the good news is, with your faith in Christ, you can do something about it. And so I want to share today three of the practical things that we can do in our faith in order to grow stronger at holding on to hope in times of trouble, when trouble strikes. And the first thing you can do is know history. I think we'll try to shoot a little slide here and make the connection with this psalm that we read. The psalm that we read, and when it says know history, verse 17 says, "Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds." You see, when they say know history, overcoming trouble through hope is a common experience that we can read about in the Bible, that we can see in the lives of other people, and even in our own experience where we know our history. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 4, the Apostle Paul is reminding Christians who were faltering a little bit. He said, "After having begun with the Holy Spirit, are you now trying to finish by human effort? Have you experienced so many things in vain?" You see, he's reminding them to know your history. The experiences of life that we have remind us that as new trials come our way, God has been faithful in the past, and He will be faithful now, and He will be faithful in the future. With those trials that come, we must remind ourselves to know the history, that God has proven Himself before, and He will prove Himself again. Now, I honestly have no idea how this will go with you. I'm actually greatly pleased that many of you speak English and can at least hear the rhyme. But when we were children growing up in the United States, we had nursery rhymes, and we were taught nursery rhymes in school. And one of those nursery rhymes, and you can do the hand motions with me if you want. Take your hands and go like this, okay? This nursery rhyme says, "The eensy-weensy spider climbed up the water spout. down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sun and dried up all the rain, and the eensy-weensy spider climbed up the spout again. Have you heard that one before? Okay. You know, as a child, you learn that, and you even put a tune to it, and in school, all the children are doing the hand motions. But as I grow through life, and I come to understand, there's a very profound truth about the human condition, that as human beings, no matter how much we aspire, no matter how much we climb, no matter how much we make, there are always storms of life. There are always experiences. There's always trouble that comes and washes it out. But the good news is that's not the end of the story. You see, in our memory, we understand that there comes a time where a breakthrough opens the door again to start over. That's great news for a lot of people in the trouble of life. Just knowing that you can start over again. Just knowing that it's God's way to build strength through those times of trouble and to start over again. We're surrounded by people who have had that experience. I have a friend of mine who's a pastor over in Boise, and my heart sinks when I think about his experience in life, that his young son, Luke, at 3 years old, was out in the car. He ran back in the house to get something before they left, and his son pulled on the gear shift. When the car started moving, he jumped out and was sadly and tragically crushed under the wheel as it rolled back, and it killed his son. Now, if you were to meet Tom today, my friend, he is just such an overwhelming example of joy and enthusiasm in life. Even though the worst of tragedies had come into his life, he's started over again, rebuilt, and with God's help, has turned trouble into joy. Knowing stories like that, reading the stories in the Bible, hearing the experiences of people around us, even in our own experience, when we bring to mind how that has happened, it gives us an anchor of hope that's saying, when trouble strikes, we know, we recall that God has been there before and He will be there again. It's a little bit like my computer at home. I'm having trouble with my computer at home. You'll click a button and nothing will happen. Or it starts to do something and then it just quits. And many of you are computer experts. You know where this is going. So after a while, I said, we've got to figure out how to get this thing working again. And after the diagnosis comes back, says, it doesn't have enough memory. You know, and this is the way it is with computers. That you put more memory into the thing, and all of a sudden it happens a lot faster. It functions more directly. And in a similar kind of way, when we're hit with trouble in our lives, we need more memory. We need to know history. We need to recall how God's faithfulness is there. And that no matter what happens, we can start over again. We can find strength and we can grow through that. And that's part of what it means to be anchored in hope when trouble strikes, is that you know history. So for you today, I don't know what people you are surrounded by or what personal stories you are familiar with. I do know that throughout the Bible, the stories that are recorded there are meant to give you a resource so that when trouble strikes in your life, you can know the history and find hope through your faith and confidence in the time of trouble. But a second thing you can do is to believe bigger. Now, if we advance through, believe bigger comes from this Psalm 71, where in verse 20, really, the crux of the psalm says, from the depths of the earth you will again bring me up. You see, the part that we read starts off with, I will always hope in God, and says, I will praise Him, and it sounds so good. It sounds like what you would expect to hear on Sunday morning in church, all the great news about God. But in verse 20 is where the credibility comes in. This is where the reality comes in, when the writer of the psalm says, you have made me to see troubles many and bitter. And that's the realism of life. Even though we always have hope, even though we praise God, even though we're aware of how powerful and miraculously strong He is, there are times that He has made us to see troubles many and bitter. And right on the heels of that is this statement of faith, from the depths of the earth you will again bring me up. You will restore me. This is what it means to believe bigger than the troubles that we face in life, to believe bigger than our own idea about how God should work to help us. You see, we get this idea that if God really loved me, if God really wanted to stretch forth His hand miraculously and save me, He would spare me my troubles. Isn't that true? Isn't that how a lot of our prayers say, God, spare me from going through this trouble? And yet, when we read in the Scriptures, all of the great stories in the Bible are not because God spared someone, but because even though trouble came, there was a greater work that God was able to do. You know, it sometimes feel like Job, in the story of Job, where all of this trouble and suffering came down on him, and he prayed to God, God, spare me from all of this trouble. And in Job chapter 21, verse 15, went so far as to say, who is this Almighty that we should serve Him? What would we gain by praying to Him? And you know what? Sometimes it actually feels that way when you're trying to serve God, you're living for Him, you're faithful, you're earnest in your faith, and trouble comes and you pray to God and say, God, if ever there was a time I need your help, it's now, and He doesn't spare you. It causes you to think that. What's the use? What's the benefit of praying to God if He won't respond and spare us in our times of trouble? But if we can believe bigger, that God is in control, and even when He doesn't spare us from our trouble, He's working to bring about good things and eternal things. This is the story we see with Job. He didn't spare him his trouble. Everything got taken away from Job. But in the end, he proved faithful, and God restored it, what does it say, sevenfold. Everything he had before was seven times greater. This is the story with Daniel. You know the story with Daniel. I would think that when he was on trial, being wrongfully accused in the king's court, if God wanted to spare him, he would have the verdict come through proving his innocence. But God didn't spare him. He let him go ahead and be wrongfully accused and sentenced to being thrown in with the lions. And there in that wrongful situation of not being spared, God was able to show even greater His power to rescue and to restore. This is the case with Joseph. You know, you think all of the points along the way in Joseph's life where he could have been spared, but he was sold by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was wrongfully accused. He was thrown in jail, and he was forgotten there. And in all of those experiences of God not answering his prayer to spare me this trouble, in the end, when he became the leader of Egypt, he provided food and salvation, not only for himself, but for so many other people as well. This idea of believing bigger, that the trouble and not being spared is not the end of the story. This idea is a chapter in a book by Dorothy Sayers that talked about the mind of the maker, where God's story has this pattern to it. When God works, sometimes, many times, He doesn't spare His people, but He allows trouble to go all the way through on them in order to bring about an even greater work. And sometimes when we pray for a miracle, we fail to believe in the grand miracle. Sometimes when we want God to spare us, we're coming up short. We're believing too small. And believing bigger says that God's greatest work is in the worst of experiences, in the worst times. And of course, the grand miracle, the greatest story, is the example of Jesus, who, if ever there was a person who deserved for God to reach forth His hand and miraculously bring a victory, it should have been Jesus. And if ever there was a time that was an appropriate circumstance, that were appropriate for God to do something victorious, is when He was being wrongfully accused, beaten, and nailed upon a cross to die, wrongfully so. But did God spare Him? No. Because there was even more yet, an even greater work of victory that God was going to do. What's the greater victory? To escape death once? To escape death twice? To escape death three or four times? Or, in the case of Jesus, to actually go to the death and gain the victory over it? And so the resurrection is the epitome of God's pattern of His work. That there is no trouble, there is no defeat so great that God can't overcome it. And what He does for us with hope is He invites us to participate in His story with our own story. And so in your story, when you believe bigger, it's to have this hope that says, no matter what happens to me, I know that God is in control. And there isn't anything that can exceed His power to accomplish His purposes through that. And His purposes are always greater, far-reaching, and eternal purposes. For that matter, we not only as God's people are people of hope, but we are people of the resurrection. Because everything about our life is not here and now, it's focused on eternity. That we live towards eternity, knowing that that's where the greatest victory of life is. So for your story right now, maybe your pension plan has suffered great loss and your 401k is now a 201k. Maybe you yourself or a member of your family is facing a severe health diagnosis and it's causing a lot of stress about what's going to happen with that. Or maybe in your home or with someone you love, a marriage is on the rocks or a teenage child is giving a lot of trouble. Or maybe there's some other trouble in your story right now. Can you anchor yourself in hope by believing bigger, that there isn't anything so great that God cannot be in control of it and use it to unfold His purposes in your life. And to become a person who lives with that kind of hope. And that whatever comes your way to say, okay, I didn't ask for this. I would love to be spared of this. But God, what are you going to do with this one? And to live with that character of hope. Well, another one, we say to know your history and have a memory that says God comes through, and to believe bigger. And a third practical thing that we can do is give back. You want to be anchored in hope for times of trouble, then learn to live life giving back. You know, in the psalm that we read, the scripture says, till I declare your power to the next generation and your mighty acts to all who are yet to come. It's this character of life that says, I don't live just for my own self, but I live to give to others, to the next generation, to those that are yet to come, to the people around me. This is the character of Christ, and it's the character that God calls each one of us to live with. It's a desire to give back, not only to receive from God, but to give back as well. You know, a lot of times in our day, we conceive of religion as a very private matter. And what God calls us to do is to express and to tell others about the faith that we have. And it puts us in a situation where even in our times of trouble, to be able to use that to give encouragement to other people and to tell others about what is going on in our lives. You know, G.K. Chesterton, the English statesman, said, Hope means hoping when things are hopeless, or it is no virtue at all. As long as there's some little glimmer of hope, then it's a flattery or a platitude. It's only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to become a strength. And you see, what happens is that when we live with that character of life, we're not just sharing around us the community of human life, but we're sharing something that goes deeper than that. We're sharing the spiritual faith, the faith that God gives to us. And when we live the character of our life, asking every day, God, not what can you do for me, but how can you use me to help others? What happens is we indirectly help ourselves. One of the U.S. presidents, Theodore Roosevelt, said, no man can, by helping his community or his church and giving to others, help but help himself in the process. You see, when you give back in life, it changes who you are. And as the scriptures say, you can't outgive God without it being returned. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. And once we capture this character of life, where we live for God to give and to share with others, to the young and to those around us, to those in need, and everything about our life is giving as much as we can, it returns back to us 30, 60, 100-fold. And this is the character of God. He invites us to join into this giving kind of life. You know, there's a song that's popular on the radio, maybe you've heard it before, by Mercy Me called Bring the Rain. And in the lyrics of that song, he says, I can count a million times people asking me how I can praise you with all that I've gone through. You know, and there sometimes is that question. People around you say, how do you stay so strong, so faithful? How can you keep a positive outlook of hope when you've got all of this stuff going on in your life? And he goes on to say, actually, it's those times that draw you closer to Him. And so he prays, I know there'll be days when this life will bring me pain, but if that's what it takes to praise you, Jesus, bring the rain. That character of life, where the rains and the winds of storms are blowing in our life, remind us to have a lifeline that reaches down and is anchored in the hope that we have in Christ. And that hope will not only hold our own lives steady and sure during times of trouble, but it gives us the opportunity to tell others, to help others, and to use our experiences to share with others and provide strength for them as well. Well, there's a familiar scripture in John chapter 16, verse 33, and I don't recall if I left that one up there on the slides or not, but John 16, 33, Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. And if you're sitting here this morning, I want you to walk out of here with no doubt in your mind. Let's just go ahead and clear it up right now. In this world, there will come times, there will be days, you will have trouble. But that's not the end of the story. You will have trouble, but take heart, or be of good cheer. Take heart, I have overcome the world. That's the good news. Got good news and bad news this morning. The bad news is you are going to have trouble in life. You can't get away from it. The good news is that no matter what, God provides a way. No matter what, Jesus has overcome the world. And because of our faith in Christ, we can be anchored in hope in times of trouble. Now, that's good news. Now, it's a whole lot better news than your church women's softball team finally beating the men, although some of you might think that's a good thing too. But if anything, it gives us the practical exercise of faith that will help hold us strong in times of trouble. So today, this week, or when trouble comes your way in the future, be the kind of person who has enough memory to know your history and to be anchored in hope for those times of trouble. Be the kind of person today and this week who believes bigger, that no matter what you're going through, God can bring it about for greater purposes. And today, could you walk out of here today and to be the kind of person who lives your life to give back, to take all that God has done and all that God is doing in your life and not hold that for yourself, but share that to others. And in doing so, find that there's a strength that comes back to you. That's what it means to be God's people. That's what it means to face trouble with the hope that He gives to us. And that's what God calls each one of us to today. And that's good news for us, no matter how bad the news is around us. Thank you.